It's After the Hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're bringing some energy today. I'm feeling really good, Colfax. Things are popping. Things are rolling. The whole show's doing its thing. We got some exciting stuff to announce. I just gave myself a paper cut, just literally right now. Ow. Is that bleeding? Yeah, it's nothing too bad.
Gonna be okay?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, okay. I was feeling good, too. It is Top Text Tuesday. I have the signed Floyd Little jersey, courtesy, again, of Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte. We've got this. It's in a frame. Colfax, it looks amazing in my office. I'm getting used to seeing it there. But somebody's going to take this thing. Somebody's going to win the Floyd Little, the signed Floyd Little jersey. Well, County Swami has two. He could win it today. Dixon has two. He could win it today, which would be blasphemy. But I don't make the rules. The rules make the show. That's how it goes. The rules make us. B-Rad got one last week to save the jersey for one more week. So, you guys, you can't let Dixon win this thing. Please. It's Floyd Little Jr. Have some respect. Why do I keep saying Jr.? Floyd Mayweather Jr. Okay. I always go there. Yeah. It's just weird.
Who knows?
But Floyd Little got the signed jersey in the frame. It's beautiful. It would go well in the man cave, well in the office, pretty much anywhere. But you guys, you got to work hard today. I want some damn good texts. Aaron Rodgers is in the news. We'll get to that. Nico Medved is in the news for Colorado State. What could that be about? Drew Kreisman going to join us. A little Rockies talk. Eastside Chris has been aggressive, huh? He's been aggressive. I like it.
I mean, he was getting at us yesterday.
He reminds me of Drew Holiday. Just playing aggressive defense on Chris Paul.
All over the place.
Just getting after it. Brady, poll question. Who would win the sack race at the KFKA company picnic? Chief Dixon or Von Miller? Oh, Von's winning the sack race. Can we get Von? Dixon can come, whatever. can we get Von to a sack race?
Yeah, what would that take?
Can we do a company picnic?
We should.
We've never done. Have we ever done a company?
Just imagine. Christmas party.
I just picture the opening scene in Full House. You know, the opening montage with the song.
Is there a sack race?
No, the family's having a nice little picnic out there in San Francisco.
Okay.
That would be us. We'd be so cheesy and perfect. That's what I picture when I think of the KFK staff. Cheesy and perfect. It's great. You remember the Full House intro?
Oh, yeah. Now I remember it. Now I recall.
So, boo-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. Yeah, it was great. That's the beginning of the song.
Oh, okay.
And the milkman, the paper boy. You get it.
Yeah. It's been a while.
That's a good show.
I was like 5 years old last time I saw that.
Do you remember it?
Yeah.
Like, do you remember enough of what that thing was about?
Yeah, because it was Danny Tanner and he vacuumed all the time.
80 sitcoms were unreal. They were unreal. They don't make any sense. None of it's realistic. 80s to early 90s. They were fantastic.
Didn't have to make sense.
No. Full House, Saved by the Bell.
That.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That's a quality.
Oh. Yeah, but there's a site that I follow, a comedy site. It's called Zach Morris is Trash. And they do these videos explaining why Zach Morris is such a terrible human being. It's all in jest, but it's like they explain these stories. And it's like Zach got one of his friends, Jesse, hooked on caffeine pills so she could study for a test. And she's like, and he did.
It did happen.
And she gets all messed up. And like he was actually, but you think about those shows. Hell, Family Matters. Remember that one?
I never watched that.
That was Steve Urkel.
Okay.
So he's Steve Urkel. He's a nerd. And then five seasons in, they jump the damn shark. He creates an alter ego of himself, Stefan. He goes into a machine and comes out like Rico Suave. And I'm like, this isn't even the same thing. But that was 80s, 90s, man. That's what they could do. They got away with whatever they wanted. Yeah, so those were great days.
Yeah, I mean, a little sad news about Saved by the Bell. I don't know if you saw or heard, but like within the past few months, I think it came out that Screech has passed away.
That's right, man.
Yeah.
That's
tough. That's super sad.
Yeah, that's super sad.
I didn't want to bring it down, but...
Well, I know. I get the paper cut, and then you bring that news to me, too.
I'm sorry.
I mean, that's terrible. Screech was awesome.
I know.
He was great.
He made the show, right?
No question about it. He was the...
curly hair and everything.
And the geekiness. He was the reason to... One of the reasons to watch. Who was that your favorite Saved by the Bell character?
No, it's probably Zach.
Yeah, Zach.
Just because he's so cool.
Zach was mine, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Slater was a little too cool.
He was way too cool.
Yeah.
He was way too tough and good at everything.
Yeah.
And then the girls were obviously cool.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
cool.
That worked out. Kelly, yeah, we remember those days. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number and get involved. Because the best text of the day wins and gets you one step closer to a Floyd Little signed jersey. Big story of the day. Let's get to that, shall we? Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Get this. Well, this is making Colfax happy. This is more evidence pointing towards Rodgers not being a Packer. Aaron Rodgers declined Green Bay Packers' extension offer that would have made him the highest quarterback. He turned down a 2-year extension from the Green Bay Packers this offseason, so it's not like breaking news. Sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. I wonder if those are the same sources that told Adam Schefter that Rodgers is wanting out of Dodge the night of the draft. The deal, sources said, would have tied the reigning MVP to the Packers for 5 more seasons and made him the highest paid quarterback and player in football. Sources told Schefter in April that Rodgers does not want to return to the team because of issues he has with the management. Despite his stance, the Packers have remained adamant that they will not trade the 3-time MVP. Since then, of course, we know that Rodgers has failed to show up to voluntary OTAs for the first time in his career. Training camp is set to start, I guess, for the Packers is July 28th, not the 27th. So there's that news. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. What's more likely with Aaron Rodgers? What's more likely for Aaron Rodgers this season? He'll play for Green Bay. He'll play for Denver. He'll play somewhere else. He'll sit out for the season. He will host Jeopardy. And let's see what the results have to say. Again, go to thewholeshow.com to vote. Get in the mix. 44%. Are on the Colfax train saying that he will play for Denver. 33% say he'll play for Green Bay. 11% say he'll sit out for the season. Less than 11% say he'll play somewhere else. And 0 believes that he will host Jeopardy. Nobody thinks that there's any chance that he's going to host Jeopardy. Who's going to be that brave soul to vote for the fact that he will host Jeopardy?
Not me.
No way, man. Well, I think that that's going to be a long process. I don't even know. Did they find a Jeopardy? You're Mr. Game Show. Did they find a Jeopardy?
I kind of fell out of the loop.
Well, I thought it was going to be the Reading Rainbow guy.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, which I'd be down for that.
LeVar Burton?
Yes, LeVar Burton.
Yes.
Yeah, also was in Star Trek.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like to make the Klingons. Is that what the fans? What are the Trekkies? I just like to make the Trekkies mad.
Yes.
Star Trek. I doubt Trekkies listen to this show though. So I think we're good.
We're safe.
Yeah, we're fine.
Klingoffs.
Yeah, the Klingon. And that's Star Trek's the same as Star Wars, right?
Yep.
Those are the exact same. Just they had TV shows and then they made movies of Star Trek Wars.
Yeah. Captain Luke and
Captain Kirk fought Darth Wayne or whatever.
Yep.
I love it. It makes him mad. Let's see. Dixon wanting to get involved here. If you invited Vaughn to a sack race, you'd have to invite Cam Newton since that's the last time Vaughn has done anything involving sacks. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Who does Dixon hate more? Vaughn Miller or John Elway?
John Elway.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, he has nightmares about
like
John.
A multitude.
Yeah, he has flat-out nightmares of that.
Magnitude by magnitude.
Magnitude.
Yes.
Yeah. It's okay. it's a decent text. Whatever. It's decent.
We can't let him win.
No. Yo, Hooligans, you got to step up your game. I'm looking at you, Pillow Fight Dan. McLean, where you been, bro? Where's McLean been? Eastside Chris, this is your time to shine, my friend. It's your time to step up. Get in the mix here. Well, County Swami could win the thing today. Ken Bone. We got Noob out there. Got Radke hanging out. Aaron. The Big Dog, Green Acre. I mean, I'm just listing Hall of Famers here. Show me what you got today. It's a huge Top Text Tuesday. And the cool thing about Top Text Tuesday is you guys can win. There's no limit. We're not one of those weird radio stations that's like, at least on this, you can only win every 30 days if you can't win another prize. No, we don't do that.
Not here.
Not with the Top Text Tuesday.
Nope.
It is a trophy. Would the Golden State Warriors be told they can't win three titles in 4 years? No.
Nope.
We would not tell you the same. And yes, in a roundabout way, we just compared Hooligans to the Golden State Warriors, which pretty tough.
Yeah.
On that one, pretty tough. So that's our Power to Play Sports poll question. I'll be curious to see where you guys go. 40% say now he'll play for Denver. 30% say he'll play Green Bay. 20% has him sitting out for the season. And 10% say he will play somewhere else. I haven't really heard anywhere else's name pop up, but I know, you know, we're hearing Denver because we are in Colorado and we hear the Broncos all the time. But I'll say it again, like I said yesterday, Colfax, that yes, we think that this Broncos team is going to be good, but if you're Aaron Rodgers, you went to the NFC Championship last year. And if your ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl, if that is the ultimate goal still for him to win another one, don't you think, who has a better shot to win a Super Bowl next year? With Aaron Rodgers, the Packers or the Broncos?
Probably Packers.
Probably the Packers. You say with such certainty.
I'm sorry. Even though I said they'll go undefeated,
yes,
Broncos will go undefeated with
probably
Rodgers.
Would go undefeated.
Yeah,
the new with the 17th game now.
Yep,
they win all. They go 17-0.
17-0.
Roll right through the Chiefs. Bust on through.
Chiefs who?
Titans stop Derrick Henry dead in his tracks. Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, who, says Bradley
what?
Chubb, sacking him down a few times. And then we got to take out Tommy Bones.
Boom.
And that's how it works. I don't know why we're playing Kansas City in the first round, but that's how it worked out.
Because well, we beat them so bad.
Beat them brutally. Okay, yep. Dixon, would the Broncos beat the Chiefs 2 out of 3 times with Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Yeah? I mean,
the defense.
Defense is going to be good.
They had him shook last season already.
Mahomes was scared, remember?
He was scared.
He was terrified.
You could see it on his face.
It's like he was watching Signs or something.
Yeah.
Saw, even.
Yeah.
He was just flat out mortified. I just heard the Packers QB has canceled their trash removal contract.
He likes to make us think up here.
Oh my gosh, Isai Chris does, man. He sends us in like deep texts, and they're good when we go to break, and we're like, oh, that's what he meant.
That's what that means.
But I'm not fast enough for that, Colbs. I'm just not there.
Yeah.
18 minutes after the hour, I got to get to this news coming up in the second hour. Something exciting for Nico Medved. Let's get into that. CSU men's head basketball coach. We'll talk about it, and then we'll have Drew Kreisman on, talk a little Rockies with us, and. What's he feeling like today as far as Trevor Story and John Gray and where the Rockies sit, at least at this point? So we'll get to all that and more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studio.
You're listening to the Hall Show powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Rev Chiropractic. I went in there yesterday, and I'm telling you, from the beginning, when I was going in there in January, my back was always hurting, almost of the time. It was, you know, workouts, playing around with my kiddo, all that stuff. It was just killing me. Doing work outside in the backyard after a certain amount of time just really started to bug me. And then I started going to Rev Chiropractic, formerly the Chiropractic Standard. And since then, I go few and far between with back pain. I still go to maintain and keep it going and keep working on my spine and getting it right to where it needs to be. But there's times maybe I sleep wrong. When you get old, yeah, good night's sleep sometimes means you slept wrong. You did it wrong. And you wake up and you're just coiled and tight. Well, that was the case yesterday. I went in. feeling good again, feeling golden. That's Rev Chiropractic, Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada. Find them on Facebook, Rev Chiropractic. They're up for Northern Colorado's best chiropractic facility. So do me a favor, you know, go vote for them. If you've experienced them before, if you're thinking about it, if you've heard good things, go vote. I mean, I'm so happy with my experience at Rev Chiropractic. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number. That's our First Advantage text line. Get involved in Top Text Tuesday. Jeff Goodman from Stadium, very reliable source, tweeted, Colorado State coach Nico Medved has signed an extension through 2027 for the late person that is 6 years away, Colfax. So see, that's what a source told Stadium this morning. He went on to say Medved has done a terrific job in Fort Collins and is one of the top teams in the Mountain West this season. There's no question. So that I started going with this idea. Is Nico Medved, is he the Sonny Lubick of basketball? Because Sonny Lubick for football was that guy, right? He could have went to a number of Power 5 schools. He could have went, he had options. He could have been a big-time, hell man, he could have even been an NFL coach if he would have kept going on that road. But he loved Fort Collins. He loved Colorado State. He wanted to build something here. Those coaches are rare. Guys that could go on and do other big things, and guys that, but he, despite that, decide to stay where they are. Do you think Nico Medved stays that long? I mean, it's not like big. I mean, I thought the contract was like 2025 or whatever. And there's going to be a buyout. More details will come on that, I'm sure. But do you think he's the kind of guy that sticks around? Just wants to build Fort Collins, wants to build in Fort Collins, and he grows this basketball franchise that we already know. Yes, Fort Collins is lovely, but there ain't a city in the state of Colorado or a town in the state of Colorado that is a basketball town. Denver is not a basketball town. I've told you this a million times, Colfax. If the Rockies are worth a, then it would be a Broncos state and a Rocky state. Nuggets are third just because basketball is more popular overall than hockey, and then hockey. Is it a buff state basketball-wise? No. Is it a, it won't, it, will it ever be? I've talked about this a lot. Will these programs grow? I think so. I think when you get a coach like Medved, and if he sticks around through 2027 and beyond, and he's like a Tad Boyle for the Buffs, and yeah, the Buffs basketball, they're a big name. They're big in the Pac-12. Boyle's respected. Still not a basketball state, though, but they do well. Could he grow that here to where basketball just becomes every single year you look for them to be a contender in the conference? You look for them to punch a ticket to the big dance every single year. I think that I think he could. Yeah, there's no doubt that he could be. Everybody loves this guy. You know, players love Nico Medved. He has a certain mix of the guy next door neighbor, friendly guy that would gladly give you the shirt off his back to help you out. But he also has that ability to turn it on, to get aggressive, to kind of be, for lack of a better term, a mean guy. Not mean, but you know what I mean. He gets after it out there. He's aggressive. He's yelling. He found, and he's, and then in the locker room when they come up with a big win, he's there dancing, he's doing fun stuff. He's got this team believing in him. So he's the perfect mix. He's the guy you want to build your programs around. He's the beacon that call for other coaches to come to this program and how great it can be. But that's also the tough part. It's the tough part about UNC. It's the tough part about CSU. They are stepping stones. Will CSU ever be considered a non-stepping stone school? As long as they're in a group of five conference, then they probably will always be considered somewhat of a stepping stone. Jeffy says, there really is no need to leave Fort Collins. May have done it only to regret. Many have done it only to regret doing it. He said, life is good here, and if you win, your legacy lives on forever, like Sonny does. Yeah, I mean, If you're Nico Medved, what are the chances you're going to go to a top-tier school, a Power 5 conference school, and become a Sonny Lubick-type guy there, and become a Coach K? Odds aren't very good. Look what happened to Jim McElwain. Jim McElwain could have stayed at CSU and probably continued to be pretty good in the conference. And McElwain probably could have been a Sonny Lubick. Could have owned the town, had his own steakhouse. Any business deals he wanted to do, he could do them. He would run it. But then he goes to Florida. He's unsuccessful. And the next thing you know, he's just a guy now. He's not a big-time coach. He's not a town hero. So that is the tough thing you got to look at. You know, life could be really good here. Coach Medved could run things and be a legend in Fort Collins for years to come. Hell, man, he could really help grow basketball. That's what our goal on this show is. We want to grow. We want to help grow CSU and CU and UNC. We want to grow the fan base. We want more people to go to these games, to get engaged, to prove that it can still be a Broncos state, but there's more to it than that. You've heard Nico Medved on the show a lot. You've followed him. What's your gut tell you? Is he a Fort Collins guy for life? Because he's going to get offers. He's been there 3 years. His winning percentage has gone from like 30%, 60% to 70%.
I want to say yes. Because, I mean, he's probably already had some offers that he's probably turned down.
Probably has had some offers, yes. I would imagine he's had a few offers. How big of offers are those? Were they from the right school? Was the Minnesota thing ever really in consideration? I don't know the answer to that. We thought that might be something. He doesn't strike me as Jim McElwain, though. Jim McElwain, you could hear it in his voice that if something were to come along, he'd be gone. Bobo, if Bobo would have been successful, like really successful, would he have stayed?
No.
He's a South guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be the head coach in Broncos country. He wants to go somewhere where it's all about. I mean, he was an offensive coordinator for Georgia, right? Wasn't he? And then, you know, he went right back down right to South Carolina as the offensive coordinator. He was there for a second. I mean, that's what this guy, that's where he belongs.
Yeah.
Adazio, I don't know. Is he one of those guys where it's like, I did my time already at that level. Now I'm cool here.
Could be.
Because he's older.
Yep.
He's in his 60s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see that. I lay down a foundation. Stay here if I'm successful for 5 years, I'd sign another contract.
Yeah.
Coach into my 70s and then retire maybe. A lot of people come here and love it.
Yeah.
Medved, I could go both ways on that.
We know he loves it here.
He does. He loves it here. He's an amazing guy. He's beloved by everybody that meets him. The school rolls out the red carpet for this guy. But you have to ask yourself, if you get into this, these guys are highly competitive. That's why they move on.
Yeah.
It's because they're always competing, and they want to compete at the highest level they possibly can. And then, of course, with the transfer portal rules and the name, image, likeness stuff, does that become more difficult at Colorado State to navigate through? If he goes to a school, you know, that's a Louisville type, a Duke type. You know, I know it's rare, but if he goes to those schools, I mean, you got a built-in recruiting system. So life gets easier as far as that. Pressure's on, though. It's like, we expect you to go to the big dance in your second year as head coach. CSU, it's like, hey, every 5 years, can you get there once or twice? And that's probably the expectations right now. Are they changing that with these guys, with this current staff, with this current group of players that are really good, and they keep getting other players coming in? Maybe they're changing the expectations, but that's the problem. It's hard to go back. It's hard to say, okay, I took a Power 5 job. I got fired after 3 years. Well, you can't come back to CSU. Remember the crazy notion I had is like, would that be somebody you would call when they were in their coaching hire? It's weird when that happens because it happens rarely. A guy moves up, doesn't make it, comes back to be the head coach again. A lot of times you see guys just come back as a coordinator or something like that. A coordinator that goes to be a head coach somewhere and then comes back and is still a coordinator. You don't typically see a lot of guys that. So the point is, there's no return at that stage. You can, you know, you go to a big job, and if you fail, you look back and go, man, we could have done something special at Colorado State. And they really can. Money's different, though. Money's different. Fame's different. I can see both sides. Like, me personally, I could totally see myself being a guy that's like, I could win at the highest level here and just be really good and be a Sonny Lubick, have a steakhouse, retire here, and it's great. But then there's going to always be that part of you when you're in your 60s where you're like, man, if I would have taken that job, if I would have taken that job, what would it have meant? What's the next step? What could I have done? And that's very compelling. 35 minutes after the hour. We'll get more on that, but it's great for Nico Medved. Love the guy. I'm trying to get him on the show today, but it's not really confirmed just yet. Jeff Goodman's reliable, so I believe the guy, but it's not confirmed through CSU just yet, so we probably won't get him on until that's confirmed. 35 minutes after the hour. Drew Kreisman coming up next. Let's talk about the Colorado Rockies. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Glad you could be with us here today. It is Top Text Tuesday. We've got the signed Floyd Little jersey up for grabs. Dixon could win it. Weld County Swami could win it today. We'll see. B-Rad's in the mix. He said, Chris, I'm rooting for you, man. Keep bringing the fire. We'll get to some of those texts in just a moment. Now joining us on our First Advantage Hotline, Drew Kreisman, our Rockies insider from DNVR Rockies. Drew, my man, it is always great to get you on the show.
Oh, it's always great to be on the show, Brady. What's happening?
I just love it, man. I love getting your insight each and every week. It's fantastic. And, you know, help us put things into perspective for this Rockies team. 41-53. Still, there are Rockies fans that are like, wow, I didn't think they'd even be this good at this point.
Sure. I mean, anyone who says the general consensus was not that this team was going to be worse is lying to you. I remember the days. I remember because I was against that general consensus. I'm not out here trying to say, hey, it's a great thing if the Rockies win 70 games, which is what I predicted they would before the season, and people are going, what are you nuts? This team's obviously going to lose 100 games. They're going to be one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in all of baseball. And even Brady, a month into the season, I had people saying, Drew, you still think this isn't a 100 loss team? Look at these guys. Look at them. Mm. I was like, well, you know what? As I said at the beginning of the year, they were much more unknown, I thought, than definitely terrible. And some of those unknowns have turned into some pretty cool things that have led to some wins and have led to some promising bits about the future for the Colorado Rockies, including Austin Gomber, Ryan Maltapia, you know, Ryan McMahon at points, certainly his defense. So it's just like, you know, the pitching was always too good for them to be the disaster everyone was expecting after Nolan Arenado left. And it turns out there's some pretty intriguing pieces here for them to build around in the future.
Yeah, there's no question about it. One of those guys that I really hope they continue to build around is a guy you and I have talked about a lot on the show, and that's John Gray. And after seeing some interesting news last week, it sure sounds like the Rockies want to make something work with Gray for the future. And I'm just such a huge fan of that.
Yeah, same, Brady. And I know that it's going to get panned nationally if they sign John Gray long term or don't trade him, because you know the normal, you know, kind of move here is that with a guy in an expiring deal, he's about to go into his 30s, the Rockies don't project to be good for the next couple of years, so you get what you can out of him by trading him and getting younger. And I think that that's, you know, a perfectly reasonable position to hold. I just don't think that it takes into consideration the context of the Colorado Rockies, and that's what's, you know, most important here. I read a panel conversation recently with a bunch of national guys saying the Rockies need to do things way differently than everybody else. But then they never give them credit. This would be one of those things. This would qualify as doing things differently than everyone else because you're the Rockies, but because John Gray has figured out how to pitch at Coors Field better than anyone other than Jorge De La Rosa. And maybe even at this point, that's like, it's close between the two of them. And you've got to figure out a way to make that guy a part of your future if you want to be successful anytime in the next 4 or 5 years. And I know some people are just ready to punt on half a decade of baseball because that's what some people do these days. But I don't know. I don't like all that crap. I think you keep around the players who've proven to be super valuable to your franchise.
Yeah, and Gray's been one of those guys. He's had. It's hard for me to believe, first off, Drew, that he's 29.
I know, right?
And we're already at this point of, you know, is he one of the greatest pitchers the Rockies have ever had? And this is both a positive and a negative thing to say about John Gray. It's not like he's had this amazing, historic career. But then again, he's had a pretty good career in a tough place to pitch. And, if you want to say that Gray's arguably the best there is for the Rockies, yes, De La Rosa's right there. But how far do you go with Gray? Do you say that he's that guy, or is he still second or third?
There's kind of a mix of them right now, and it's tough because both he and Marquez are still like actively improving their Rockies records, and they're both in the mix. I think it's Ubaldo, De La Rosa, Marquez, Gray, and Aaron Cook. Those are your top five, and I think Marquez is actually going to end up number one on that list pretty comfortably. But the thing that's funny is that John Gray has been just a little bit ahead of him their whole career. Just a little bit out in front. And, you know, he's proven an ability to do it, and he's been better at Coors. And so for me, that's the big thing is, like, De La Rosa dominated at Coors, but he was pretty bad out on the road, ultimately. And John's not as good out on the road, but he's still decent. And when you look at all the numbers that adjust for Coors Field and all the fancy statistics and stuff like that, then yeah, actually, Gray comes out better than any of them. Actually, Ubaldo still is number one. He did some dominant things for a while there and really racked up some ridiculous statistics. But Gray, I think I would probably put at a solid number two right now.
Yeah, and if the Rockies can find a way to get something done with him, then he keeps adding to that resume, and maybe someday he does get closer to that number one spot. Drew Kreisman joining us, talking all things Colorado Rockies from DNVR Rockies. We saw the tweet, and we didn't get to it. We didn't have enough time last week, Drew, but we saw Patrick Saunders tweet out that he talked to President Greg Fiesel about in kind of getting the sense that interim GM Bill Schmidt's going to be the strong candidate to be the permanent GM. And at first I'm like, okay, come on. Now we're just going to keep recycling. We keep looking inward. But if he somehow, some way, and this is very rare this happens, ends up re-signing John Gray and Trevor Story, I mean, do you then go, you know what, maybe this guy's not so bad? And again, the chances of Story happening don't sound very good, and we'll get to that more. But what are your thoughts if Bill Schmidt is the guy going forward?
Yeah, you know, I thought that was interesting. First of all, there is a difference between being a strong candidate. Lots of guys have been strong candidates for stuff.
Right.
Anyone who's ever been listed as a strong candidate knows exactly, you know, it's a nice thing to say. You're on the short list, buddy. Cool.
Yeah.
That said, you know, I've always thought that this sort of cult-like devotion to they have to get somebody from outside the organization ridiculous. I think they have to get the best man for the job. Ruben Amaro Jr. would come from outside the organization, he'd be absolutely terrible. I challenge anyone, everyone listening to this or anywhere, if you think, oh man, they can't have Bill Schmidt because he's from the inside the organization, answer a series of questions. Does he prefer trading lots of guys or building from within? Will he move prospects or will he hoard prospects? Does he want to spend money on pitching or does he want to spend money on position players? And if your answer to every single one of those questions is, I don't know, then maybe don't insist he's absolutely the wrong guy for the job just because he's got Rockies juice all over him. I know Bill Schmidt is a very smart baseball man. Everyone was insisting a week and a half ago that the draft was going to be an absolute disaster because with him being interim GM and the director of scouting and all of these people leaving the organization, there's no way they were going to be able to conduct a decent draft. And then the draft happened, and it got universally positive remarks from everybody. So it's just like, you know, maybe let the guy do the job a little bit before you insist that he can't.
So what do you think then? Do you think he's going to be the GM going forward? What's your gut tell you?
No.
I
do think so. They've said publicly multiple times that they're going to go outside the organization. I do think you've got to give some credibility to the guy doing the job at the draft and at the trade deadline. I thought of that a little bit too when they, asked about Trevor Story, going to move him, and they go, hey, we're not a farm system for other teams. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to trade him, but they can't also just operate from a position of weakness. People going, who's this guy? And they have to move him. And they got to come out and say, no, we don't. And, this guy's a real GM too, and maybe he will be long-term. So deal with him accordingly, other GMs out there in baseball. But no, they're going to go outside the organization unless Bill Schmidt just does an extraordinary job at the trade deadline and all of a sudden the fans are clamoring for him.
Yeah. I mean, some kind of crazy move. Yeah. Right. What's your feelings on Trevor Story? We've had several texters that are asking, like, has it come out of Trevor Story's mouth that he doesn't want to be a Rocky?
Not explicitly that way, but my understanding is that sources, his people, have communicated to, I believe it was Patrick Saunders, that he's unlikely to sign with the Rockies in the offseason, that's not really something he's interested in right now. And I take that report credibly. I believe that sounds reasonable, that checks out. And so, as such, I think if they can get something for him that's more than the compensatory pick they get if he leaves in free agency, they should trade him for that. But if all they're being offered is less than the value of that pick, then just hold on to him. Get the draft pick and, don't take the terrible PR hit of having traded two superstars within a couple months of each other, and let the next GM decide, what the direction of the team is going to be.
Well, it'll be very interesting to follow along, Drew, and we'll continue to see what this Rockies team does for the rest of the season. Got one. Love to see it with Charlie Blackmon, John Gray, not getting swept by the Dodgers, and I think that's actually pretty significant. Those first two games back after the All-Star break were pretty scary.
Yeah. And the second one was a little bit closer for a minute there. When the Rockies bullpen gets involved, it can get a little close game while Kyle Freeland was in the game. Yeah. So you like to see that. You like to see Kyle competing against the Dodgers. That's really good stuff. And I agree. A walk-off win at home against the Dodgers feels good. And we had some, we were doing a post-game show. We were having a lot of fun. A lot of people were having a lot of fun there. Of course, a few curmudgeons coming in are like, how pathetic that this is, it counts for fun. Like, dude, if you can't have fun with that, like, I don't know, baseball's tough. Or if you can't get excited about a walk-off win at home against the Dodgers in a year we're coming into it. Anyone being honest with themselves knew this team wasn't going to the postseason. So those are the kinds of moments you get excited about. And they build character and culture, especially among the young guys moving forward. And those are cool moments years later when the Rockies are good again. And all the bandwagon fans have jumped on because they only know these guys. And you can say, man, I can remember, though, where they were really gutting through it and being at that game where Charlie Blackmon hit the walk-off home run against the Dodgers. And cool stuff. Those are great moments.
Yeah, no question about it. It's good to have those memories for sure. Drew, love what you do, my friend. Always appreciate the insight, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
Absolutely. Sounds good, Brady. Take care.
All right, my man. Drew Kreisman, Rockies Insider, DNVR Rockies. 12:52. We got to take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number one. A lot to get to in the second hour. More on Aaron Rodgers, CSU, and game six tonight. Do the Bucks end this thing? Talk about it next.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to Highland Park Lanes. It's a great spot to bowl. Great place to grab a bite to eat, even if you're not bowling. Stop by in the bar and grab a drink or or whatever, man. They have killer deals, and I love it. They got the leagues going, they got the parties going, so much more going on at Highland Park Lanes. You can book your party, start your party or events registration at their website if you're interested in that as well. Their cosmic times, Friday to 10 o'clock to midnight, Saturday 12 p.m. to 5 p.m., and then 9 o'clock to midnight, too. So a lot of great opportunities at Highland Park Lanes. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Noob texting in, so does the buck stop here tonight? I get it. I see what you did, noobs. I see what you did. It works. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Game six tonight. Does the Bucks stop here? Okay, I'm using it myself. Second hour coming up. More on Aaron Rodgers. He declined a chance to be one of the top paid quarterbacks in all of the league from Green Bay. So is it going to be a foregone conclusion that he's not a Green Bay Packer? And then maybe a Bronco? That's our Power to Play Sports poll question. What's more likely for Aaron Rodgers? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll be right back.